The book of Acts, chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse 1, and we'll go down to verse 3. Acts, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." We're going to take our text from verse 3. My message today is on the subject of many infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs. In this passage, we learn a few things, actually. We learn that when we get a glimpse of who the human writer was of the book of Acts, this being Luke, he talks about the former treatise that he made. Of course, the other one being the Gospel of Luke. It's interesting. It would seem, and I'm not here to preach about Luke, but you can go back and study it and research it yourself on your own time. But it would seem as though that Dr. Luke, the physician, had written a two-volume history of the things that were going on in and around the times of Christ and the rise of the Lord's church. Some folks think he may have even written this, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he may have written this, these two, for a defense for Paul, who was in trouble with the Roman authorities. But whatever the case is, the Holy Spirit inspired him, and we have this record that was given. And one thing that we want to focus in on this morning for just a few minutes here is that what we find here in verse 3. Speaking of Jesus Christ, we learn here that our Lord spent 40 days on the earth before going back to heaven after that he had risen from the dead. During this time, he taught his disciples things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Exactly what he taught is not mentioned here. We find some record of it throughout the Gospels, but we'll not speculate on the things that aren't written down. We can only take what we have recorded. And what we find, though, is that he did literally raise from the dead by many infallible proofs. What does that mean, infallible proofs? Well, infallible is a word that means not liable to fail or to deceive confidence. It's something that's certain, as infallible evidence, infallible success. Noah Webster, 1828, that's the way he defined it. And certainly, that's a good definition. This first generation of Christians here in the New Testament, they were eyewitnesses. They seen with their own eyes the things that had happened. Faith in Jesus Christ was not a blind leap in the dark. They knew. They saw. with their own eyes. Only God could defeat death. They knew, without a shadow of a doubt, beyond all doubt, that Jesus Christ had indeed risen bodily from the tomb. They had seen him. They touched him. They had eaten with him. Spent time with him. They knew that he was alive. They'd been with him alone. They'd been with him in crowds. They'd been with him in closed rooms and out in the open. He was no fraud. He was the real deal, you see. The term infallible truths, or infallible proofs, rather, as Luke used it here, is a Greek word. It's only used one time here. It means, in the Greek, many criteria of certainty. Significant that in all the inspired word of God, it applies only to the resurrection of Christ. It is not too much to say that the resurrection of Christ is the most certain fact of all of history. You know, there's some things in history that people can doubt. You know, and we could sit down and we could argue about it and we could speculate about it. And I'm not trying to start any kind of arguments with people, but look, you get into history and you start looking at things, and I love history. You know, where's Billy the Kid really buried? And there's some questions as to where that is and what that's all about. Did we really land on the moon? There's some people that question that sort of thing. There's people that question about. About is Elvis dead, you know, and that sort of thing, you know, and a question about that. And did Brunswick Stew really start in Brunswick, Georgia, you know? There's questions in history, right? Questions that people have. Doubters and skeptics, and you go back and forth, and sometimes people can bring one side versus another side. Get in the right group of people and start talking about whether Abraham Lincoln was a good president or not. That'll really get some people's passions rolling. Or whether the South was right. But when it comes down to this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible calls it, talks about it, refers to it here, says he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. He showed himself alive. Oh, there's no question about this. Sure, there's skeptics. Sure, there's people that will try to argue against it. But listen, folks. They may as well try to argue. They may as well try to argue that the sky is a different color than blue. They may as well try to argue that to get to Florida from Georgia, you'd have to travel north. You see what I'm saying? They may as well try to argue some crazy nonsense. Because that's what it is. It's crazy nonsense to try to argue against the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's look at these infallible proofs here. He says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 39. Luke chapter 24, verse 39, he says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." During that 40-day period after his resurrection, Jesus ate with the disciples, walked with them, taught them, and commanded them. He communed with them to infallibly prove that he was the risen Son of God, risen from the dead. Here he says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones." In Luke 23... Luke chapter 23. We find the account of the crucifixion. One of the accounts that are recorded in Scripture. We'll begin reading of verse 26. It says, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say, The mountain fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." Verse 33 there in Luke 23 says, "They were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. The people stood beholding, and the rulers with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth to the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and a veil of the temple was rent in the midst. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. This is one record of the crucifixion that took place that day. Certainly, Jesus was not the only one to die on the cross. There were others who died on crosses. Three that day, as a matter of fact. But what I'm saying to you is that no way that any man could have survived that. The record is clear. He died. He died that day. The difference between his death and any other man's death on the cross is that Jesus did not deserve to die. He had no crime. He had no sin. The reason he died were for the sins that were placed upon him that belonged to you and me. Our sins put him there. It was for our sins that he suffered, bled, and died. He was buried. Laid into a sepulcher. Verse 53 says, And he took it down and wrapped it in linen. Well, let's start with verse 50. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre, was hewn in stone, wherein never man before laid. That day was preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. He was buried in a tomb. He died. For the sins of his people, was buried. And for 3 days, 3 nights, was there in that grave. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, begin at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the end of toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. For lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. we meet for church on Sunday morning. And every Sunday morning that we get up and we get ready for church, and whatever you do to prepare for church, and whatever you, however distance you got to come to church, and you get here to the building, and we come for worship, you ought to remember that we are here today because we serve a risen Savior. That Jesus Christ, tomb is empty. He is not here, for He is risen. Every Lord's Day, we ought to be reminded of that. Those folks who say that He was not risen, where's the body? Where's the body? They've never found the body of Jesus. They've never found the body of Jesus. Do you know why? Do you know why? It's not there. That tomb is empty. His body is not. Oh, so many have claimed that they would die and then come back. But they've died and haven't come back, have they? When Muhammad died, that was the end for him in this world. Now understand something, Muhammad went on to an eternity in hell because he died without Jesus Christ. Understand that. Up where I grew up, there was a great leader, Tecumseh. Maybe y'all heard of him. He tried to get the Indians together and try to stop the white man. And anyway, he promised that if he died, he would rise again. Tecumseh's body still in the grave. Tecumseh's in hell right now. And so many great leaders, so-called, so many religious leaders, they've died, their bodies are in a grave somewhere, but Jesus rose again and was seen by many. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. You want to know where I go to get the record of what happened to people? Whenever I'm looking at history, whenever I'm understanding things, I don't go to somebody who's writing about history. I go to the source. You know where the source is about Jesus? Right here in His Word. The eyewitness accounts are here. This is God's Word, written by God Himself, as He used men who were inspired to write about the things that they saw themselves. You can't get any better record than that, folks. These women, they were eyewitnesses, were they not? They got there. They came to the grave, and the angel was there, The angel of the Lord descended from, came and rolled back the stone from the door, verse 2. And by the way, that stone was not rolled back to let Jesus out. He was gone already. That stone was rolled away so that the women could see in. That's why that stone was rolled away. And when they got there, He was gone already. But then, check this out, it wasn't too long. Verse 9. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. They came, held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Oh, how exciting that must have been. How exciting that must have been for those women that day. You know, people grieve differently. People have different emotions when something happens, like what they witnessed at the cross. And I can't even begin to fathom what they must have felt as women, seeing Jesus Christ die at the hand of the evil men that were there. But when they went to the tomb and they saw that thing empty, and the angel said, fear not, I know who you seek, Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Oh, what joy that must have been. And then when they saw him, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, verse 9, it says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Praise the Lord. Imagine these folks as they mourned and as they wept, and they started hearing stories. Hey, Jesus is alive. He's risen. And he appeared to them. He appeared to them. Seen by many. In this we see Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. We see the two men of Emmaus there in verse 12. And we see the 11 as he appeared to each of these. In Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 24 and verse 34. Luke 24 and verse 34. It says, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. The Lord hath appeared to Simon. Peter, one of the apostles, the Lord had appeared to him. In looking at this, we find in Luke 24, verses 36 through 43, look here. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself, not a representative, Jesus himself, I love that. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. We see him as he met with those disciples who were there. Oh, there's so many examples scattered throughout the pages of Scripture of as he met with folks. In fact, the Apostle Paul sums it up there in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning at verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. They were seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, from the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. There are many witnesses, many. The resurrection of Jesus is not a fable. Those who believe it are not holding on to some blind faith. This is real. Solid evidence to be found. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 16, Peter says it this way, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You see, they were eyewitnesses. John said in his epistle in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, these guys were eyewitnesses. And this book is the eyewitness account. And not only did they write of it, but they wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. No wonder No wonder Luke, as he wrote there in Acts chapter 1, he called this infallible proofs of the resurrection. It's more than a hunch, more than a good feeling, more than blind faith or a leap in the dark. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, is true. Start to finish. In John chapter 20, as we kind of bring this to a close, I want you to notice this. In John's Gospel chapter 20, where most of us are familiar with Thomas. John chapter 20. And let's look and see what happens here. And beginning at verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in the hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, Thomas with them. See, he missed out. He missed out last time they were together. So he was there this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be with you. Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. It is true that the first Christians were able to see, were able to feel, we're able to touch, witness. Here's the thing. We, like those first Christians, we must believe on Jesus in order to receive salvation. But this faith in Jesus, it's not a leap in the dark. It's not a blind faith. It's a reasonable faith based on many infallible proofs. And we can, and we should, you should trust him with your eternal souls. Hear me now. Where are you today in your life? Have you put much thought in this? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you trust him? The fact that he died on the cross for sinners. That he died on the cross for you as a filthy, rotten sinner. And that he was buried and that he rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Oh, there's so much more I could say about it. So much more I could say about him. But praise God. Praise God for these many infallible proofs. The fact that we serve a risen Savior. May God add a blessing to his word. Let's go ahead and stand. And we'll... have Brother Barry, would you please pray for us?